Welcome to worship in First Omagh this morning. It's lovely to be here on the bank holiday weekend. And thanks to our choir members who have come out in force today. There's a special celebration going on amongst a couple in the choir, so there's quite a few away helping them to celebrate. But it's lovely to have you here with us. And special welcome to Calvin, who's returned from the good old shores of England to come and play with us and accompany his brother Cain. So it's lovely to have the both of you here in church this morning. A few announcements before we start the service. Jigsaw and Blast are moving on the 8th of September. They are not going too far. They're still going to be in the halls, but the time at which they start will change. We're moving our Sunday school from before church until during church. So the idea will be that everyone, families, children, will come together for worship at 11:30, and then the children and the young people will go out at 11:45. Jigsaw for primary-aged children and Blast for children in year 8 to year 11. They will move into the youth room, and year 1 to 7 will go into the Rowan Hall as normal. So that's a change in the times. Don't bring the children 10:15 on the 8th of September because there'll be nobody there. Do come at 11:30. And then we're also starting a creche toddle along group, toddle over to Sunday school, we've named it, TOTS. And it's going to start on the 8th of September as well. And it will take place in the committee room here. So if you have, you know of anyone who has children under the age of 5, then they're welcome to come as well and then go out again at 2:15 and have the TOTS programme, which Emma Fleming will be organising. And as the 8th of September is the beginning of a new season and a new beginning, we are encouraging people to come back to church. So any elders who are out this morning, if you could please pick up a leaflet, a back to church leaflet, and deliver that round the districts in your area, that would be much appreciated. And we hope we'll have a good turnout on the 8th of September. Our walking group is the last Tuesday night, this coming Tuesday, with supper afterwards in the hall. So if you're not able to make the walks anymore, you are more than welcome to come and join for supper. Or if you haven't been able to get to the walks for one reason or another, please do see this as an invitation to you to come to the supper on Tuesday evening. Our congregational prayer meeting will take place on Thursday at 7:30, and again, an invitation to anyone who wants to join. Not quite sure what's going on, but dear help David, he'll get it sorted, I'm sure. Next Sunday, there's going to be an accredited preacher trainee here in First Omagh, Jonathan Reid from Ballygolly, and he will preach once a month. I'll still be here, but he will be taking this service. And then the final announcement for First Omagh is that we're having Cafe Malawi, which on the Sunday the 8th of September in the Rowan Hall. An opportunity for us to hear about the mission trip that took place in the summertime, and a warm welcome will be extended to anyone who wants to hear about that trip on Sunday the 8th of September at 7 o'clock. I hope to see you there. And then for Trinity folk, your Sunday school is also starting again on the 8th of September, so please pass the word on to parents and children that is starting up again. And I am delighted to announce that your minister will be back on duty from Tuesday and will be covering the pastoral care needs of the congregation. But it has been a real privilege to me to serve you over this last month in whatever way I can, and also to have you join with us here in First Omagh for our month of worship. And I know that the congregation First Omagh enjoyed attending worship with yourselves in the month of July. So we come to this new season, and we come before our great King, Jesus Christ, as we bow before him in praise and in worship. We sing hymn 644 and omit verse 4, at the name of Jesus, hymn 644, omitting verse 4.
Thank you.
They've really exercised their lungs there this morning, which is great. We now come before our great God as we bring to him our prayers. Let us pray. Almighty God, you alone are worthy to receive praise from every mouth, confession from every tongue, and worship from every soul. For you created the world by your grace, and in your compassion you have redeemed it through the work of your Son. Gracious God, your power is beyond measure, your wisdom beyond comprehension, and your love beyond all limits. Yet you created us men and women to be in a loving, living relationship with you, created and creator, servants before the living God. Meet with us this morning to refresh our souls, to sustain our spirits, and to strengthen our resolve to love and serve you as we ought. Forgive us, we pray, for the times when we have taken your love for granted, when we have neglected to give you praise and glory. Forgive us for the times when we have turned our back on you, failing to walk in your ways. Forgive us for the damage we have caused to this wonderful world, through our neglect and misuse of all that you have given us to steward. Forgive us for the damage we have caused to our relationships with friends, with family, with neighbours, with strangers, and with nations. We rejoice, O Lord, in the forgiveness of sin that can be found in Christ's name. But help us, we pray, to be his agents of reconciliation in the world, bringing peace where there is war, bringing love where there is hatred, bringing healing where there are wounds, and bringing wholeness out of brokenness. These prayers we offer in the name of the one who is the Prince of Peace, the healer of diseases, and the restorer of relationships, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I don't see any children in the congregation this morning. They must be enjoying the bank holiday weekend. But I suppose my focus for the children's talk was around the whole area of walks. I don't know if you are people who enjoy your walks. I know that Godfrey does enjoy his walks, and Brian and all those who are on the walking group. And it's lovely to get out into the fresh air and to see the goodness of the world around us. It's particularly nice when the sun is shining, but it's also good to walk in the rain and the snow. It's good for our health. It helps our mood. And so we are encouraged to get up and to get walking. I don't know where your favourite place is to walk, whether it's along the shoreline, in the forests, or through the towns. I don't know what your favourite season is for walking, whether it's walking through the autumn leaves, hearing the crunch as you walk along, whether it's walking through the fields in springtime, bringing in the beautiful scent from the flowers that are flourishing in the fields. Or maybe you prefer to walk on freshly mown grass, or on the wet sand on the beach. So there are different ways in which we can walk, different experiences that we can have as we walk. But in our reading this morning in Colossians 3, we're going to look at how Paul tells us that we are to walk in a special way. We are called as followers of Jesus Christ to walk in the way of love. And we'll be looking at what that actually means. What does it mean to walk in the way of love? It means that we are to walk with kindness, helping one another, forgiving others, being thankful to God for all that he has given us. So as we reflect and think upon these things, I hope that you will also think about your favourite walk, what it means to walk in love for Jesus Christ, and how that shapes our everyday living. And we do that because we worship our Saviour, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're going to sing first, praise to him, which is hymn 350. What a wonderful Saviour is Jesus. Hopefully we have power. You can hear me all right? Good. We turn now to our scripture reading for this morning, which is found in the book of Colossians, chapter 3. This can be found on page 253 of the New Testament section of the Bibles in the pews. Colossians, chapter 3, page 253. And we'll be reading from verse 1 through to verse 17. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. You have been raised to life with Christ. So set your hearts on the things that are in heaven, where Christ sits on his throne at the right-hand side of God. Keep your minds fixed on things there, not on things here on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your real life is Christ, and when he appears, then you too will appear with him and share his glory. You must put to death then the earthly desires at work in you, such as sexual immorality, indecency, lust, evil passions, and greed, for greed is a form of idolatry. Because of such things, God's anger will come upon those who do not obey him. At one time, you yourselves used to live according to such desires, when your life was dominated by them. But now you must get rid of all these things: anger, passion, and hateful feelings. No insults or obscene talk must ever come from your lips. Do not lie to one another, for you have taken off the old self with its habits and have put on the new self. This is the new being which God, its creator, is constantly renewing in his own image, in order to bring you to a full knowledge of himself. As a result, there is no longer any distinction between Gentiles and Jews, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarians, savages, slaves and free men. But Christ is all. Christ is in all. You are the people of God. He loved you and chose you for his own. So then you must clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Be tolerant with one another and forgive one another whenever any of you has a complaint against someone else. You must forgive one another, just as the Lord has forgiven you. And to all these qualities add love, which binds all things together in perfect unity. The peace that Christ gives us is to guide you in the decisions you make, for it is to this peace that God has called you together in the one body. And be thankful, Christ's message in all its richness must live in your hearts. Teach and instruct each other with all wisdom. Sing psalms, hymns, and sacred songs. Sing to God with thanksgiving in your hearts. Everything you do or say then should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, as you give thanks through him to God the Father. Amen, and we thank God for his word to us. As we have read of that new life that we have in Christ and how we are united with Christ in heaven, so we come before Christ and bring to him our prayers for this world and our prayers for others. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we think about the beauty of your earth, we are reminded of the wonderful, diverse world we live in, with brightly coloured butterflies floating by on summer breezes, humpback whales making their way across the oceans, tiny puppies frolicking about in their litters. And we give you thanks for all you have created. We pray, O Lord, for those who work tirelessly in this world to protect the beauty of your creation, environmental agencies, sustainable farming, wildlife protection. And yet we are conscious of the devastation that we so often cause to this planet we live on. We pray for those who are working in the Amazon forests to contain the wildflowers and to protect plant and animal species. We pray for those working to improve farming and agricultural techniques for better sustainability of the land and for its inhabitants, both human and other kinds. We think about the peoples of this earth and for the harmony and cooperation that exists in many communities across this world, places where individuals are valued and communities flourish. But we are also mindful of those who live in places where communities are torn apart by hatred, violence, or mistrust. We pray, Lord, for your peace to reign in those places of unrest, for your healing to bind up and heal wounds of division, and for your generosity and grace to pour out in abundance through the words, actions and lifestyles of those who walk in the ways of Christ. We continue to pray for our government and for the EU nations as they work on the complexities of Brexit. We pray for our own local politicians and ask that in both situations you would open up a way for progress to be made. We lift before you this morning those who have been and who will continue to be affected by the current political situation. The poor, the vulnerable, the unborn, the elderly, the educational establishments, the health service. We remember also this week our young people as they receive GCSE examination results and as they make choices about their future education and careers. We pray for those who are disappointed with their results. May they know that their value and worth is not found in an examination grade, but in the unique individuals you have created them to be. Give them hope and confidence for the future, that though things may not have turned out as they wished, there are many more options and opportunities that lie ahead. We rejoice too, O Lord, with those young people who have done well in their examinations and are on course for further education in school or college. And we rejoice too with those who have decided to embark on a career path, whether through apprenticeship or employment opportunities. We pray that as they move into these steps of adulthood, that you may walk with them and that they may walk with you. We give thanks too for this time of fellowship and friendship that we have experienced over the summer months in Trinity, Gilligully and First Oma, as we have worshipped together in one place or another. We ask your blessing to be upon the plans the three congregations have for the autumn and winter season. Bless all those in leadership as they pick up the reins within their respective congregations. We ask, O Lord, that in all that we plan and say and do, that it would be in accordance with your will, and that your kingdom would advance here in this place and across your world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We continue to worship God together as we sing our next hymn, which is 485, All I Once Held Dear.
Thank you.
today we're going to look at what it means to walk in the way of love. And when you think of walking in the way of love, you often think about a bride and a groom on their wedding day. And I was very privileged this week to marry a couple here in Oma in this past week. In previous years, I've had many summer weddings, and this morning in Gilligooly, there was a couple who live in France now who had returned with their little boy, and I'd married them 5 years before. And it's just so lovely to see that they're continuing to walk together in love through their marriage together. And it's wonderful, isn't it, to go to a wedding and to celebrate with a young couple as they make their vows to one another, as they walk out of the church on their way to a life of love. But one of the things that make weddings special are the clothes that the people wear, and especially the clothes that the bride and groom wear. And for those of you who love bridal wear, there is an opportunity for you to see a whole array of that this coming weekend in Lislimnahan Church Hall, where they're putting on a bridal wedding dress festival of old and new. And there are some old wedding dresses that have been donated from families, as well as some more recently worn dresses. And I also understand that there's going to be a wedding dress that a minister once wore. Well, it's not my wedding dress, but I'll leave it to you to work out which minister it might be. But certainly if you're interested in that, then please do go along to Lislimnahan and also to support the work of the church there. But there's something really special about bridal clothes. The bride dressed in her beautiful gown and the groom in his handsome suit. And I've noticed from a wedding rehearsal to a wedding day, there's only a couple of days, but what a transformation. Usually at the wedding rehearsal, the bride and her bridesmaids arrive in jogging wear with hair tied up in scrunchies or in a ponytail. Their faces are usually quite orange because they've gone for a fake tan, and they're glowing and they're hoping that it will indeed, as they've been promised, wash off in the morning and leave a golden tan. And they're running around in their runners trying to make preparations for their wedding day. And 2 days later, or 3 days, or maybe even the next day, depending on how busy they are, there's a transformation as the bride walks down the aisle in her beautiful wedding gown with her sparkly shoes and her bridal bouquet. And I have to say, the groom spruce up not too badly as well. But that, I think, might be something to do with their fiancés and possibly their own mothers than perhaps themselves. Although I think times are changing, lads, and I would say that your sisters fight for the bathroom, I would say, in your house, as all this male grooming becomes much more acceptable in today's world. But it's lovely to see the transformation that people make to their clothing whenever they come to a wedding day. And as we celebrate the beginning of a new life together as Mr. and Mrs. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at new beginnings that Christ offers us. The first Sunday in August, we looked at the waymarkers on our own faith journey. As we've walked along our lives, how God has walked with us, how we've been aware of that, how we maybe haven't been. Then we reflected upon Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father. This morning we're going to look at what difference that makes for our lives today. If we choose to follow Jesus as our Saviour and Lord, if we receive the forgiveness of sin that he has offered to us, and if we walk in love, what difference is that going to make to our lives? Will anybody looking at us know that there's any difference at all? Well, the first difference that following Christ should make in our lives is the way in which we orientate ourselves. Before we became Christians, before we became aware of what it meant to follow Jesus, our focus was, and still sometimes can be, orientated in the world around us. We orientate ourselves by what other people are doing, by our families and how they set out their lives, how we follow them. Our friendship circles, what they do, and we choose to follow them. Our workplaces, we choose to focus on our careers and making money and making a name for ourselves. Maybe our focus is on our emotions. Whatever way I am today is depending on how I feel, whether I feel happy, whether I feel sad, whether I'm content, whether I'm restless. It's all about us and our lives here on earth. But as Christians, we should orientate ourselves in a different direction. We should look up to heaven. In the letter to the Colossians, Paul reminds us that we have been raised with Christ. We have set our hearts on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. So as Christians, our minds should be orientated to Christ in heaven, and our hearts set on the things that are above and not the things that are on the earth. Our orientation should be directed towards Christ, and we should seek to follow him. Christ has made an end to death and to sin, and when we choose to follow him, then we choose to follow in the ways of Christ. And what we believe must impact how we walk. If a bride and groom make their vows here in the front of this church in all their finery, walk out the doors and separate never to be together again, although they might still be husband and wife, they are not walking the way of married life and of love. Their actions must follow on through their vows that have been made. So the love changes who they are and how they behave as they seek to walk together. And it's the same with our life in Christ. We are united together with him through faith. Often in scripture, it talks about Jesus being the bridegroom and the church here being the bride. So we are united in that loving relationship with Christ. And therefore, that relationship should impact how we live. We should live as people who love Jesus. That should be seen and evident in our everyday lives. Just as a married couple should be seen, whether they're with their partner or not with their partner at the time, they should be seen as a person who is married and is in love with their spouse. So our feet are on earth, on the earth. We still live here on the earth, but we are united with Christ in heaven. Senator Hubert Humphrey is meant to have said, "You must remember that in politics, how you stand depends on where you sit." You must remember that in politics, how you stand depends on where you sit. So if you are a Democrat and you sit with the Democrats in the House of Congress, then you will stand for A, B, and C, whatever the Democrats stand for. If you sit with Labour in the Houses of Parliament, then you will stand for W, X, Y, and Z, because those are the things that the Labour Party stand for. When you are a Christian, you are seated with Christ in heaven. And how you stand here on earth is determined by his values, A, B, C, and D. The where you sit determines how you stand. And that means a change for us in this sinful world. It means that we have to walk away. We have to walk away from all of that sinful nature that is part of every human being. And Paul lists some of those sins. The first list is a list of sensual sins: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. And then the next list are more about our attitudes, our internal attitudes: anger, of rage, of malice, of slander, of filthy language, of lies from our lips. So this sinful nature is part of every human being's nature. We cannot deny it. It is part of us, and it has a hold upon us until we give our lives to Christ. And then we have the power and the strength to turn our back on that sinful nature and to remove it from our walk with God. One commentator puts it this way: if you have a ruptured appendix in your body, you will go and get surgery and cut that appendix out. If you want to have a beautiful garden, then you're going to have to go into that garden and pull out those weeds as soon as they appear. Otherwise, the garden will be destroyed by the weeds. And it's the same thing with our lives. We are made new in Christ, but those old tendencies still exist. And so we are called to do radical surgery. We are called to pull out those weeds before they take a hold on our lives and to walk in a different way. I've no need to tell you of the impact that sexual immorality, lust, evil desires, and sinfulness has on the world around us and in our relationships with one another. It destroys life when we misuse that which God has given for good. He created man and woman to come together in a loving, living relationship with one another for mutual support and encouragement and satisfaction, but for lifelong commitment. When our society turns from those ways, then the whole of society is affected by that. A friend of mine was completely devastated to discover that his wife had been cheating on him with another man. He was devastated. His children were devastated. Their grandparents on both sides were devastated. All because someone wanted something that they didn't have and broke vows that they had promised to keep. Our society today is prevalent with sexualization. We only need to look at our advertising, at our magazines, at our TV dramas, documentaries, and soaps to see how sexualization has taken over our society and put such pressure on our young people and on older people to conform to that way of life than to the ways of Christ himself. And so we have young men and young women suffering from anorexia because they want to be like that model on the front of the magazine that they buy week by week. Even though the model on the front of that magazine doesn't look anything like that in real life, but they are sold, this is the image that you must follow. Or the young teenager who decides to sleep with a boyfriend or with a girlfriend because it's what everybody else in their class does. Yet they have lost that innocence that can never be returned to them. And so our society more and more increasingly is becoming a society where these sexual sins are so prevalent and so accepted by society that it is difficult to turn your back and to walk a different way. But we are called by Christ to do that, to follow in his way, to be loving and to be faithful and to honour the vows that we have made. To recognise that we are made in the image of God and loved for who we are, no matter what the scales may tell us or what size of clothes we pick from a hanger or what a boyfriend or a girlfriend will say to us. We are loved and accepted by Almighty God and we have a life of fullness to live for him if we choose to continue to walk in his ways. That second list of anger and rage and malice is more about the internal workings of our hearts. How do we respond whenever somebody does something that hurts us? Do we respond with anger and with rage and with violence? What about our language? Is our language good when we're here in church amongst people that we know, but when we're out with friends, does that language deteriorate? And it's not just about using swear words. What about how we use our words in conversations? Do we use our words, even though there may be an element of truth, put another person down? To ridicule? To despise? To manipulate? again coming from our internal feelings of self-worth. We are to turn our back on all of those negative things and ask Christ for the power and the strength to walk with him in love. The psalmist advises us to search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me to the way everlasting. That's what the psalmist said, one of God's holy men. How much more must we ask the Lord to reveal those sins that lie latent or even active in our own hearts, that we may be blind to seeing, but that Christ can reveal to us and that he can forgive us and we can be restored to a new relationship with him. And that is the wonderful promise of Christ, that the old life is not the end, but we have a new life to follow. We change direction when we seek to follow Christ. We no longer look at that which is past and the old self, but we turn towards the new self. We change direction and we change the slide, David. The next slide. Thank you. So we change direction. We walk towards a new life, to the new life that Christ has prepared for us, leaving the old life behind. And as Christians, we know that our salvation lies in faith in Christ. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that we seek to follow him with our lives. But that's not the end of it. There's an ongoing work of sanctification, of holiness, of becoming more and more like Jesus Christ and being renewed in his image to the perfect human beings that he has created us to be. And so as we walk in this new direction, in this new life, we walk alongside of other people. And so you're all gathered here this morning. And for those of you who do seek to follow Christ in your lives, then we are united together with him through that faith in Jesus Christ. There is no one that can be excluded from that, no matter what your history, no matter what your past, no matter what your circumstances. When you become a new creation in Jesus Christ, you are united to his church, to his family. You are part of the church that is his bride. And we are renewed in his image. And so we can walk into this new life. And just as a bride starts her new life with a beautiful gown on, so we also receive from God wonderful qualities and gifts by his Spirit to help us to live this holy life. And so we are called upon to put on a new set of clothing. To clothe ourselves, not in bridal wear, not in any other type of clothing, but to clothe ourselves in the qualities of Jesus Christ, to show compassion to others, to be willing to step out and do that thing, even though it might not be the right thing for you, but it is the right thing for someone else. You're willing to show compassion to them. You're able to put on kindness so that you can look at people with kindness and with grace and with mercy. You clothe yourselves with humility. Not putting yourself first, but seeking the needs of others. You show gentleness and patience. And they are qualities that are very difficult to show whenever life is not going the way you had hoped or the way you wanted. But continuing to show gentleness, continuing to be patient and to wait for God to work is a wonderful quality and can help our community to unite together. And then there's the quality of bearing with each other. Now, those of you who are married, sitting out there, well, you know what it means to bear with one another, isn't it? It's not always easy in life when you're married to someone and they want to do something and you want to do something else, or they've got an awful habit that they keep on doing and it's frustrating. But you bear with them, you put up with it, you continue with it, you continue to work together in your relationship. You don't give up, you don't walk away. You commit to one another. And that's what we are called to do as Christians in these congregations gathered here today. We are called to bear with one another. Even in the times when things aren't going well, we struggle together. We put up with one another. We forgive one another. We help one another. We care for one another. It's not easy, but it's what we're called to do. And Christ clothes us with the qualities that we need in order to live for him in this world. And so to summarise then, we're called to walk in the way of Christ. We add his love. When we feel the love of Christ in our lives, then we're able to love other people, even those whom we find it difficult to like. We're also called to be guided by his peace, to be people who are peacemakers, people who seek unity in the body of Christ and not disunity. We are to be people who are willing to come and study his word together, Sunday by Sunday, through daily Bible studies, through meeting with one another, so that that word of God dwells in our hearts and we get to really understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus and then to put that into practice in our lives. And we're encouraged in this walk of Christ to keep the communication going between us and our Lord in heaven. We're called to sing to God with gratitude, with songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Our relationship with Christ requires us to be in dialogue with him through prayer and through praise, just as a husband and wife's relationship with one another strengthens when the communication lines continue to be kept open and they keep talking and speaking to one another and sharing those difficult things and working them out together with gratitude. So we are called to worship our God and to do it with an attitude of gratitude. And we do all of these things as we seek to walk in his ways, walking in the name of love and in the name of our Saviour Jesus. So I pray that in this autumn season, as we go our separate ways, you to Trinity and us to stay here in First Oma, but all of us to seek to walk in the ways of Christ and to show his love, to turn away from our sinful nature and to be renewed daily by the love of God in our hearts, that we can share love and compassion and care and kindness to one another and to our wider community, that they may too come to know the love of Jesus for themselves. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks for the example that you set for us here on earth, how you walked the way of love, showing gentleness and kindness, humility and compassion to those in need, offering love in the face of hatred, offering forgiveness in the face of sin. We thank you that you were willing to die on the cross at Calvary so that you could defeat death and sin and open to us a life everlasting with you. So we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful partnership that you offer to us. And we pray, O Lord, that as we seek to follow you, you would equip and enable us to walk in the way of love, being faithful to you all of our days, seeking to follow you and your ways, and to bring your light into this world. These prayers we offer in the name of Jesus, who sits on the heavenly throne, and who is the Lord of all, and the King of all kings. Amen. Your offerings to God will now be received. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many good gifts to us. We especially give you thanks, O Lord, for the gift of family and for friendship, and for the fellowship that we have with you through faith in Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for the way in which you have blessed each of our lives. And so we ask that you would receive these, our offerings, as a sign of our gratitude to you. And we pray, O Lord, that you would use these offerings to advance your kingdom both here and beyond. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We bring this service to a close as we sing another hymn to Jesus, our Saviour and Lord. Hymn 408, In Christ Alone, My Hope Is Found. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.